Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for giving us your wisdom today in dreams and visions and revelations concerning the days to come. And we pray, Lord, that everyone will listen and cooperate with you in these days to see your best, and that they will be holy, be delivered from the judgments. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with Man-Child Judges and Preserves 4. And this first revelation is destruction of the apostates. Snow is coming. And given to Vanessa Weeks, 9/9/20. And she said, Barry and I were outside looking at several chemtrails, and the sun was directly in front of us and very bright. Well, I think the sun is disturbed, this revelation. Went on to say it looked like these trails were coming out of the sun, which is kind of a way they do to hide them from you, hide it from you. So are they trying to hide something around the sun that's disturbing it? It's been very cloudy for days, hadn't it? Could it be Planet X behind, but appearing next to the sun, like this picture I'm going to give you here? It's pretty astounding. It's about one of the only ones I've ever thought was actually could actually be a picture of Planet X. And other people are picking it up too. Give that to you. It's in a YouTube video. Awesome pictures there. It's the whole little mini solar system. And Planet X, Nemesis, is there covered with a cloud that makes it look a lot bigger than it is. And one of the outer planets there is, or probably the outermost planet there, is Nibiru. Okay, she went on to say, then I saw clouds that were partially white and partially dark in the form of airplanes. These airplanes represent people who are partially sanctified and partially sinners. Kind of like the lukewarm, which Jesus spewed out of his body. I say it that way because that's the way the Lord showed me to say it. Spewed out of his mouth, but it's out of the mouth of his body. They're being rejected from the body of Christ. A cloud is, of course, water vapor, which is partially water and partially air. Water represents the word, and the air represents no word. They fit very well with the lukewarm. These, she said, were scattered throughout the sky and were damaged as if they had been blown or partly blown apart. Well, this is, of course, a disintegration, like water in a cloud. Destruction has come to these people, and they can no longer stay in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And one plane had its right wing partly blown off. Well, this makes me think, she said, of the right wing, right? Because you know some right wing people are not right wing, and they're not holy, and they do not measure up, and they too will fall. And she said, when I saw this, I knew the deep state was sending a message of a plan of destruction concerning planes. Well, as we have heard from the Lord, the deep state will give orders to their anarchist troops to judge the Christians. And God will focus them on apostates and factious people. That's what he told us. He can do that. You think that he who caused the death angel to pass over God's people and hit the Egyptians isn't a pretty good shot? And the firstborn of the Egyptians? Then that's a really good shot. God is a good shot. And everything is in his hand. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Don't ever believe the devil has any real authority. He has authority to do only what God ordains. Works all things after the counsel of his own will. No one restrains his hand, like Daniel said. Okay, so, and then, Nessa said, one plane, no, excuse me. Then the scene changed, Vanessa said. It was night, and I was in a building with windows all around me. I knew there was destruction happening all over the world. Seemed to have been preserved from it, looking at the destruction out there from her windows, which of course means she stayed in the house like she was commanded. So happening all over the world, I think if Planet X is as close as those pictures show, it's going to be quicker than even we thought. God can do that. He's in control of it. They say how it speeds up, slows down. He'll bring it in when he wants to, right? So anyway, destruction happening all over the world, you know, I believe is certainly going to be from the deep state and possibly Planet X. Remember, beginning of the tribulation period, that's what they were dealing with. The destroyer, they called it, was passing over. Egyptians wrote about it. Okay, I had a sense that President Trump wanted the election to be delayed. Well, it could be because of some of the things we're going to discuss a little further down here. I believe it's because his electorate are being taken out. And I mean, there's a lot of people that are voting for Trump that are apostate Christians. They'll be held responsible, more responsible than the lost people who are voting for him. And also, is this because we don't need two presidential elections so close together? Nasara law being enacted demands that new presidential and congressional elections come within 120 days of Jisara's announcement. The president is expected to give this announcement very quickly. Could be an October surprise? I don't know. Anyway, the interim government will cancel all national emergencies and return us back to constitutional law. That's all in the Jisara law. And pray it happens on schedule. Okay. They have a plan. Sometimes their schedules work out perfectly, and sometimes they don't. It's up to God, right? Yes, and we thank you, Father. Thank you for this brief respite to enable us to get the church together and have a revival of original and true Christianity. And then this brief respite will be over. I was sitting down, and then I saw to my right a jet with its light on. I thought, that looks normal. And then it flew in parallel with the horizon at lightning speed. I stood up then, and as I watched it, I knew it was going to Nashville to do some damage. Okay. Well, I know this. The third presidential debate will be held at Belmont University in Nashville, Nashville, Tennessee. And the deep state doesn't want it to happen for obvious reasons of making the Democrats look bad. And they don't want President Trump to live to the election. I don't know. This is supposition, obviously. We'll find out what the real reason is soon. It could be this. That's the only real connection I could make there. And Vanessa went on to say, I asked the Lord what he wanted to say about this dream and received by faith at random with my finger on discretion. In context, 6 through 13, Proverbs chapter 2. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity. In other words, walk according to wisdom. That he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, and every good path. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. And here it is. Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee. What for? To deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things. Okay, so the people with discretion get delivered from the wrath of these factious people, right? Who forsake the paths of uprightness. Yes, they do. To walk in the ways of darkness. Yes, they do. And this shows that discretion will save the righteous from this judgment on the evil, factious liars in the church and in the state. Amen. And then Vanessa said, the Lord gave me Isaiah 63:1 when I asked him about the destruction to the plains that were in the form of clouds, and I received it by faith at random. In context, Isaiah 63:1-6. Right? And verse 1 is, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? The Lord, bringing judgment upon Edom. Garments are dyed with blood. Bozrah means the sheepfold. It was the sheepfold of Edom. People out there who fight against God's people. Like Edom, their father was Esau, sold his birthright and destroyed his seat in heavenly places. He destroyed the plains, right? In Christ Jesus. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, the stars will fall from heaven through bitterness against his brother Jacob or Israel, who is a type of the church. Faction today is in bitterness against the true church. Hebrews 12:15-17 says, look carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. Without grace, you can't make it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. People with roots of bitterness, they defile many. They're going to go and destroy as many as they can. They're going to do as much slander and damage as they can, and so on, as God will permit. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau. Yes, Esau fornicated with those that were not of the family of God. And this is true of the faction too. They're in great fornication, in different forms of fornication, and they're very profane. Who for one mess of meat, I call it following after the flesh, sold his own birthright. Lost his place in heavenly places with Christ. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for change of mind in his Father, though he sought it diligently with tears. Amen. So, these are reprobates. They will not return to the Lord. Verse 6. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is, glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath. He's coming to save his people from these wicked people. Always pour out their wrath upon the righteous and attempt in every way to destroy them. And their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. Or destroyed the factions. This is talking about both in the government and in the church. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. In other words, he's coming to save the righteous from the factious. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me. Jesus means salvation, and he is the arm of the Lord. And so he is coming, of course, in another body of the Son of David, a corporate body of the Son of David, again, to repeat history. And my wrath, it upheld me, and I trod down the peoples in mine anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. Okay, yes, the Lord has had enough of the wicked and the factious apostates. And Vanessa said, Father, we know you have to do this. Thank you for your Passover lamb, and that discretion shall watch over us, and understanding shall keep us. Jesus' name, amen, she says. Amen. Interesting, the words that we get around these revelations by faith at random in our morning prayer meetings. Here's one. The apostate factions who fight against God's people will be destroyed by the deep state beast. Ezekiel 25:15-17. Thus saith the Lord, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with despite of soul to destroy with perpetual enmity. Now, he's got almost a quote that it was also used against the Edomites. Esau's seed, who did the same thing. And both represent a left-wing faction against the right and the righteous. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with wrathful rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. Yes, they will find out that the God that they've been following is a demon. And they'll get the revelation of who the Lord is if they live through it. Those who swear falsely against God's people and steal from God's people have a curse on them from Him. This is one we receive by faith at random. Zechariah 5, 1 through 4. Then again I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off on the one side, according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off on the other side, according to it. And I will cause it to go forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, action is, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, which they do, they're full of slander, and it shall abide in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Hence, of course, curse. Get and come out from among them, you that hear this. Psalm 139, 19 through 24. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloodthirsty men. They speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Apostates and the factious take his name, but they don't live up to it. They call themselves Christians, but they are not. Then they don't speak in agreement with his name either. That's what it means to take his name in vain. It's not talking about cursing. It's talking about somebody who takes his name, doesn't live up to it. And he goes on to say, Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? Well, you know, the Lord told us that he will use this army of the beast, deep state, to destroy the apostate Christian leadership and many followers, including the factions. This next revelation we call the leftist army is warring. It is warring. Many of you already know that, even though it might be peaceful around you, it may not be for long. This was given to Sandy Shaw, 9/19/20. In a dream, I'm standing in someone's open concept apartment. I'm standing in the living room, but I'm looking in the kitchen. And on the living room wall, he has a Trump flag. And in the kitchen, there is a banner that says, Vote, vote, vote for Trump. The woman looked at me and said, What is your name again? And I said, Sandra. She said, You're going to have to stay here because I don't feel comfortable with you leaving, because outside Antifa is shooting and starting fires. And then there was a name here, but it was forgotten. Person said, They are doing this all over the United States. There you have it. Antifa is shooting and starting fires all over the United States. You say, Where could they find this many people? Many of these people are military. And they were trained in other countries and imported into this country in planes and across the border. And this is what I've read. A lot of them don't belong in this country. They just hate this country just as much as the Democrats do, just as much as the leftists do, just as much as the Satanists do. And that's their army that they're bringing in here. And, of course, they're using DEW weapons, too. Well, that was the end of the dream. Outside, Antifa is shooting and starting fires, and they're doing this all over the United States. And, of course, this was evidently a patriotic person that Sandy was speaking with, you know. And, of course, there's maybe some of them taken down, too, you know. But we remember a couple of years ago, I don't know exactly when, the Patriot General sent a couple of letters out to tell people to stay in and let them take down these people. Fully expected a revolution. That was at least a couple of years ago, maybe more. They fully expected a revolution. And going on, Sandy said, when I woke up from the dream, the nurse, Kim, turned on my TV. It was on Fox News. And they were interviewing a man, and he was saying that when Trump gets elected, there's going to be a civil war. Well, that's what they say. Antifa and BLM are already being funded by Soros. It's all in the quote. Newscaster said, do you really think that will happen? And he said, yes, it is happening now. That wasn't part of a dream. That was on Fox News. The leftists say that they will start civil war after the election, but they always lie, just like the faction in the church. They always lie. They're doing it now. Antifa and DEW weapons are burning the country, starting at the left in California and Oregon and Washington especially, where leftist governments do not oppose them. I have here a video that shows you the DEW beams coming down, starting fires. Very interesting. Link will be in here if you want to look at it. And I'm sure there's a lot more out there, because you can take a picture of when that beam is coming down. It's not so fast that you can't catch it in a picture, and they're catching a bunch of pictures. And our government, too, has admitted, and I think they believe that some of this is Chinese weapons being used. That. So, either that way, but you remember it was the deep state and their DEW weapons that took down Paradise. I mean, it is so hot, it just explodes in fire. It's not like taking a match out, unless you're lighting a bomb. And Sandy got by faith at random in the NASB, Isaiah 41:21-24. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forth your strong arguments, King of Jacob says, speaking to the apostate church at that time. Uses the word Jacob, right? Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. What we're trying to tell you. And as for the former events, declare what they were. In other words, you know what? These people haven't got the foggiest idea what's coming. That we may consider them and know their outcome. Or announce to us what is coming. Tell us. Tell us what's coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account, and your words amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Okay, this is the factious and the apostate church is going to be beaten, and they have no idea. They don't believe it if you tell them. And then the deep state army who did this will be destroyed together. That's what God does. He uses one enemy against another, and then he destroys the original enemy. People say, well, why would you let them go about burning churches and burning preachers' houses down and burning up right-wing people and so on and so forth? And I can tell you, they're not going to know what they're doing. They don't care. As you've seen, they've killed people people of color they've killed when they claim to be Black Lives Matter. It doesn't matter to them. They want to destroy America. These invaders want to destroy America. And these demon invaders want to destroy America. Of course, the deep state army is going to meet its end. These anarchists. Here's some more texts we received at random in our morning prayer meetings. The Judas faction of thieves and slanderers will hang themselves except for a remnant who repent. Psalm 55:12-15. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. To somebody that suddenly became factious. Then I would have hid myself from him. And it's also speaking clearly about Judas. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. Remember Jesus' complaint against Judas. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the throng. Let death come suddenly upon them. Let them go down alive into Sheol. Well, I'm going to share with you in a revelation that we just got about the apostates going down alive into the fire. For wickedness is in their dwelling, in the midst of them. Another one. Again, faith by faith at random. Isaiah 30:12-15. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness. Let me say something. These people are not democracy people. They don't believe in democracy. They believe in forcing this upon you. That's demonic people, demon-possessed people. They don't care that you voted and you chose what happened. They don't care. They want their way. They're self-willed. They're full of hatred. They've been raised up by some of them been raised up by a bunch of professors that are total leftists, antichrist to the core. They're antichrist to the core. And they rely thereon, that is oppression and perverseness. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as a potter's vessel is broken, breaking it in pieces without sparing, so that there is not to be found among the pieces thereof a sherd wherewith to take fire from the hearth. It's going to be broken into little bitty pieces. Or to dip up water out of the cistern. It'll be a useless vessel. Broken, useless vessel. For thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, offering repentance. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. In other words, they would not repent. He prophesied that they would not repent. And I can tell you, if God says they won't repent, you won't repent. Because he's the one who grants repentance. That's what the Bible says. Another one by faith at random. Job 18:5-8. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tent, and his lamp above him shall be put out. He will have no light whatsoever. And how many times when he speaks of the faction is it that they're stupid? We call them the stupid demons from the very beginning, which was like 2010 and 11. Outbreak. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Yes, all their steps will bring about their own destruction. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon the toils. Factions, you know, in the church and in the state, snared in their own traps, as God said in the scriptures. But they don't believe this. Here it is. This is Andrew Galinas. Got this on the 12th, September. And it's all about the harlot thrown into the furnace. There it is right there. The first thing I remember was standing in my parents', in other words, my father's house, living room, holding something that belonged to one of my children that needed to be repaired. Yet there's a lot about God's children that needs to be repaired. And many people are just muddling right on through. They're not seeking out deliverance from their problems. They're just putting up with them. They're not changing things. They're not repenting. And that's a terrible thing because God just doesn't put up with it forever and ever. I took it into my parents' room for a quiet place to work and sat down at the foot of the right side of the bed on a large cushion. The TV in the room was showing a small group of on-fire Christians as they sat beside a high 10 to 15 foot concrete wall. The distance I could see ocean waves crashing onto a beach. Well, the concrete wall represents sanctification. It's what keeps the enemy out and the righteous in, right? Sanctification. They're on fire Christians and they're sanctified. And the waters are the many waters of the beast, as in Revelation. And they're crashing on the sands of the seashore, which Abraham was told is his seed, which is today Christians who walk by faith, as Paul said. Those who walk by faith of Abraham, these are the sons of Abraham. It's not those who are born after the flesh that are the sons of Abraham. The Christians were discussing and strategizing about how to win more people to Jesus. This is what's important to on-fire people. They're interested in this. They're working towards this. They're not wasting their time just pleasing their flesh. They're doing this. This is their work and interest. But the factious have only one intent, to slander and destroy the righteous. Only one intent. Like also the leftists in the country, same thing. They don't want democracy. They don't care they're going to be beaten. They've already got their strategy out there. Right? You said that it's very possible that Trump will appear to win with a landslide, but it'll be a mirage when all the votes are counted. In other words, all the votes that they themselves created are counted. That's their strategy, and that's what they're going to say afterwards, right? Well, I think they have a plan to do a blockchain vote, which, as I understand, has never been hacked. And The blockchain vote will be done over your phone and over the computer. Now, these people say we need to keep people locked up, and so they have to send in a mail-in vote. That's not true. They can still be locked up. Keep them out of the way, out of trouble, and they can vote on their phone or on their computer. That's really going to cut them off at the knees, isn't it? Infectious people. Okay, then they began singing popular praise and worship songs I knew from years ago. But they had changed them from major to minor key. This gave the words a much more reverent feel. Okay, so they're doing it. I would say this means that they're worshiping from their heart. This is maybe symbolizing that, right? A reverent feel. So praise in the midst of the war will win, as it did when the three armies came against Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem, and the enemy destroyed themselves. Just praising God, just praising and thanking God. Remember, he said that he was going to do it alone. What that means is he doesn't need our fleshly works. Now, we can do the spiritual warfare, but he's the one that's going to do the work. I say start doing the spiritual warfare because the war is on. The war is on. Then it was as if I had fallen asleep for a short time. I'm not going to give all of the dream here, just the parts that are about this, what we're talking about. Then it was as if we were watching politicians on TV. But they had exaggerated features, sort of like caricatures. My father chuckled at it. Now, you know what? He knows, the father knows, that this is a bunch of clowns. And said something to the effect of, listen, they're trying to choose the one who will do the least damage instead of choosing the one who will do the most good. Yes, that's so true. Oh, that is so true. Because, you know, if the politicians were on leftist TV, because that's about what you get there mostly, almost completely, and clowns, they were probably liberals, in which case they only want a president that they can control and is in agreement with their agenda. One with no brains would be good. Who is a pedophile Satanist would be good. These would be most to their liking, if you know what I mean. One who has shown how to fix the country and has a record of doing it, they would hate. Now, again, we have this parallel in the church. Faction is against these people in the church. Now, many of these factions were saved and delivered under the ones, for instance, in our ministry. All these people who have turned against us like Judas, they were saved and delivered and so happy to be free under our ministry. But when they didn't do anything with what they got, they continued to, you know, run after fornication and theft and all these things and lying and so on and so forth. The Lord reprobated them. He cleaned us up. Shining. If I get a chance, I'll share with you a good proof of that. Okay, going on. Then I was seeing a woman with short hair. Well, according to 1 Corinthians 11, this is rebellion to her husband. It doesn't show submission to her husband, who in this case is the Lord. Like a man, he said. Well, that's Jezebel. We know what Jezebel looks like. Stuck in a flesh-colored sludge up to her bare shoulders. In other words, the apostates are all unclean, and they are totally unclean. God doesn't like people to judge people on the fence. He usually lets them fall on one side or the other. You know, and the wicked who are determined to be wicked, you know, like the last factious leader, this is the fourth time he's fallen into faction and corruption. For people that are determined to do that, he's going to reprobate them. And the apostates are unclean, like this Jezebel harlot here, being moved on some sort of a half-pipe conveyor belt. So this woman was up to her shoulders in this, on this conveyor belt. The woman looked very distressed because they're going to come to the place where they're going to realize what's going to happen. The woman was very distressed but could do nothing to help herself as she moved at a quick pace towards the mouth of a fiery furnace door at the end of the winding slide. Even today, these people are nervous, fearful about what's going to happen to them. They're desperate, just like the Democrats. They're desperate. They're reaching out to do anything they can do to save themselves. They're desperate. They're fearful. And they'll try to push the blame for their sin off on you every time. That's what they do. That's what this demon does. Of course, this is a time when the factious and apostate church will, with no submission to God, that's what this symbolizes, 1 Corinthians 11, being short hair, will be judged, and there's no way to stop it. It is to cleanse the church. Thank God that we know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, so God is going to give the church a chance to be righteous. He's sending new leadership, sending the man-child and the bride, and they're coming quickly to be this new leadership. Righteous people, don't believe in slander. Don't believe in theft. Don't believe in lies. And Andrew went on. He said, I had the feeling that this had to happen, even though I didn't want it to happen. Yes, amen. This is true. And was deeply distressed by the sight. Yes, of course. In only a moment, she went right on up and into the fire and was burned alive. It was very quick. I woke and was troubled in my spirit, grabbed my Bible, and my finger landed on women in John 8 and 5. Now the law of Moses commanded to such a woman, what they do, what then do you say? The law commanded them to be stoned when they were caught in their sin. And then he says, and then what do you say? Well, I say, thus saith the Lord, whatever the Lord wants, right? He knows what is needed and necessary at this time. He's going to cleanse the church. What I do is I pray that they will repent. I believe there is a group among them who will turn to God, especially when they see these things happening. And they see it approaching them, you know, that many will repent. Not the most, but a remnant. Okay, here's some more texts that we've received at random in our morning prayer meetings. Real recent, all these. To the apostate harlot, Paul said in Romans 11, 5 through 10, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election means choosing, right, of grace. But if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. God gives grace to the humble, he says. So humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before his word. He is able to give you grace. He is able to deliver you from anything and everything. What then? That which Israel seeketh for. Israel is a type of the church. That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not. But the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. See, God is in the business of repeating history. What happened to Israel is happening to the church. There is a great falling away in the church. Turn to idols. Turn to sin, corruption, fornication, etc. And now God is saying, repent quickly. I'm coming to judge. And the election will obtain it, and the rest will be hardened. According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. Oh boy, they have that. Eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this very day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Table, of course, is that which they partake of, but that which they share with one another. Can you imagine? They share with one another, give to one another. You know, think is great among themselves. Think is the most important thing in the world besides saving people, is destroying ministries that do save people, who are concentrating on saving people. These are the wicked. The wicked. They've been taken over by demons. And by the grace of God, we have been able to cast those demons out of some who were honest and just deceived, or maybe had this thrown at them from the wicked, you know, by the grace of God. And what does the Lord say? He says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. Now, if you remember, at the beginning of Matthew 13, there was just such a situation where the disciples were asking Jesus, why do you talk to them in parables, Lord? They don't understand you. They, of course, wanted their people to be delivered. He said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. What happened? These were Jews. These were covenant people. But they continued on in their sins. They made every excuse not to eat their Wheaties, eat the things that belonged to the kingdom. Jesus gave parables about them, how they were distracted in their personal lives with things, you know, and weren't coming to the feast. We know what the feast is in the New Testament. The Lord showed us. It's the body and blood of Christ. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Body, of course, is the word of God, and the blood is the nature. Life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. The body and blood of Christ is what we're supposed to be taken of. How do you know that you're, you know, consuming the nature of Christ? You'll be obedient to the word. The body, you'll be obedient to it, and the nature of Jesus Christ, the blood. You'll be obedient to it. You have consumed it. It's a part of you. It's what your cells are made of. So, it's very bad because there are people who are so contrary to Christ and his nature and all of his commands, even when he tells them that such a one will not inherit the kingdom of God, they don't believe it. You can give them that verse. It just water off a duck's back. Don't believe it. And he said, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. Be burdened with their sins and the judgment of God. And in receiving these verses in the morning, To those in their pride who oppress God's people, God says in Jeremiah 50, 31 through 40, "Behold, I am against thee, O thou proud one, says the Lord of hosts, for thy day is come, time that I will visit thee." Visit? Yes, the Lord is coming to visit and to judge. And we've discovered it's in the midst of the great earthquakes that I believe are caused by Planet X. And it's here now, too. And it was there when the great judgments fell upon Egypt, the Passover, in which the wicked were destroyed and the righteous were freed up. It was there overhead. Shared that before. The writings of history. Looked up and saw the destroyer, and it was that planet. "And the proud one shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up." That's a decree of God against the wicked. Just as it was in Matthew 13, when Jesus warned with the parable of the sower, that not everybody that received the word and sat on a pew is going to be with him in the kingdom. 3 out of 4 rejected it. Only 1 out of 4 bore the fruit of the kingdom, is the body and blood of Christ. The rest lost. "And I will kindle a fire in his cities." Oh my goodness, there it is. Fire in his cities. "And it shall devour all that are round about him." All that he thinks is great. I pray that the righteous will get out of the liberal cities. They're full of the worst kinds of sin. And God is judging them. Matter of fact, it's so crazy. They're judging themselves. They're burning their own cities because there's nobody there to oppose them because everybody thinks like them. Isn't it amazing? They're killing themselves. They're falling into their own trap. And they have branched out into some cities where the people stood up against them and they ran. In several reports of that. Yeah. So if you are a Christian, you got no business in those cities. They're being judged. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all that are round about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, children of Israel, children of Judah, are oppressed together. All that took them captive, hold them fast." You go. You know what? There are a lot of people in captivity to dead and false and wicked Christianity. It's a do-nothing, know-nothing Christianity. It doesn't save. It doesn't heal. It doesn't deliver. "And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all that are round about him." Yeah. So those that are oppressed, the children of Judah, oppressed, "and all that took them captive hold them fast, they refuse to let them go." Yeah, you know, when wicked people leave a normal assembly because they have a disagreement, they just leave. They don't want to be there. They don't, you know. But this is so demonic that these people cannot stay away. They want to come back to bring destruction to everybody that's there. That's what they want to do. We've had many dreams about them faking repentance. And their leader did that a couple of times. Faked repentance. I said, okay, confess your sins. Oh, no, I haven't sinned. You know, so, you see, there's the problem. Faking repentance won't work. There has to be fruit. Like John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. and then come. He had sense enough to know what repentance was. He preached it. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Yes, he is a Redeemer of his people, of the righteous people. He is a Redeemer. He's a Deliverer and a Redeemer of those in sin who want to be righteous. He will thoroughly plead their cause. He give rest to the earth. Oh, we're going to have that respite that I've been speaking about. And it's purely for the purpose of having a revival and raising up the church in the image of the early church. Hear a word behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God never changed it. The church today is supposed to look like the church did back then in Jesus' day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what he's called us to be and to do. There must be repentance. The church is not. The structure is wrong. You know, the whole structure of the church is wrong. It's fallen into the Nicolaitan error of a priesthood over the church. And that's now it's the pastor who's the head of the church. Whatever can you find that in the Bible? Where can you find that in the Bible? No. There was safety in the abundance of counselors in the Bible. People that were specialized in different gifts from God, called the fivefold ministry. They have departed from that. They're kings, God's heritage. And they plunder God's people. God's tired of it. Come out from among them. Judgment is coming. And disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Yes, they are that harlot in the book of Revelation. That's who they are. And all of her daughters. And a sword is upon the Chaldeans, says the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, upon her princes, and upon her wise men. You know, the apostate harlot are members of the Babylonian dragon. Dragon was the god of Babylon. The Babylonian dragon who seeks to destroy God's people. Remember, it tried to devour the man-child and the woman in the wilderness. This, you think that this is just lost people? No, no, no. I mean, who is it that's always persecuted God's people? When David spoke about those wicked around him, he wasn't talking about the wicked nations out there. He was talking about people that were considered to be covenant people. These are the ones that God is most angry with. These that claim to be covenant people, but they don't keep the covenant. And they don't want anybody else to either. And if anybody does, they're going to fight and make war against them. And verse 36 goes on. A sword is upon the boasters. They shall become fools. What happened? A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. And that has happened. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. They're mingled people. They're a mixed multitude. They're lukewarm because they're mostly of the world and not of the kingdom. In America, we have that especially in American Christianity. People that are more American than they are Christian, which is a bad, bad thing. They think it's a good, good thing. It's a bad, bad thing if you're more American than you are Christian. And you're no witness to the people around you. You're no witness against sin, and you're no witness of the truth of God's word. No, it's a bad thing. And they shall become as women. Sword is upon her treasures. and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it's a land of graven images. Yes, there are many idols among God's people. Many things that are much more important than the kingdom. And they are mad over idols. It's mad. Crazy. They're demon-possessed over their idols. Therefore, the wild beasts of the desert with the wolves shall dwell there. These Babylonian houses of false Christianity. Wolves will dwell there. In other words, apostate leaders, evil leaders who plunder and make the sheep their food. And the ostriches that shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. God is going to destroy this apostate system. And that is so good, because nothing else will live through the tribulation period. Going to destroy this apostate system. Oh, yes, it will still be with us in the tribulation period, but we're going to have a period of peace. And the beast will, of course, return. The dragon will turn into the beast of the second 3.5 years. And there will be communism, just exactly like these people want. They're pushing communism. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in the vote. They don't care what you want. No. They only care what they want. And they have their self-righteousness is just oozing out of them. They can be so righteous for being so wicked. You know? It shall no more be habited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Praise God. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom is all in them. I lost track of the number of them that's bisexuals or full-out homosexuals. And some of them that were bisexuals, that they were hiding, became full-on homosexuals. So shall no man dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. Glory be to God. That's a blessing. Oh, what is coming? What is happening? Why is all this happening? Well, for one thing, God is going to clean up his church. He is separating the tares from the wheat. All this is doing it. All this is coming about to bring past this. We have watched for, well, since 2010, mostly. Some of it, a little bit, was before that even, you know, but it really started strongly in 2011 to separate the tares from the wheat in the church. And what did it was every last one of them was totally unforgiving for no reason whatsoever. God just turned them over to the most stupid offenses that I have ever seen in my life. Now, normal people, the past separations of the church into denominations, they fell out over stupid things too, but not as stupid as this. This is totally unfounded stuff, total lies. From the very beginning, it's been that way. And it was because these people had heard the word of the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord, and they liked it. But then they realized that they had to change, that they were expected to change when they heard the word of the Lord. And they refused to do that. And God, who was watching, knew that and judged that. And he turned them over to these reprobate minds. Romans chapter 1 is very clear about them. That's exactly who they are. And so, what are we waiting for? Well, We're waiting for the perfecting of the bride, and all of this is moving towards that end. There's a perfecting of the tares. They're coming into maturity. The sons of the devil are coming to maturity at the same time the sons of God are coming to maturity. Nobody can get further from God than somebody who knew him and turned away from him. Nobody. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and they are worse than they were before they were saved. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Whom much is given, much is expected. The Bible. You're given such an awesome revelation of the gospel and opportunity to come into the image of Jesus Christ, and you reject it. What is left? What is left? Now, I agree, there's an awful lot of people out there in dead churches. They haven't ever seen the good word of God, which brings people to, believe it or not, reprobation. Hebrews chapter 6. Remember the steps he said? That if a person does this, they will not be granted repentance. One of them is the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, when these people saw and received this, then they were held responsible. And if they didn't, you didn't have to do anything. God reprobated them. And suddenly, they had these stupid spirits, we call them, because they were so stupid, so contrary to everything they knew and understood and believed moments before. Yes. So be careful that you do something with what you get. It's fun just to read all this good stuff, you know. It's sweet in your mouth. It's bitter in your belly. It's bitter to the flesh. Once a person decides they're not going to do something with what they got, beware. Get away from them. They're going to be trouble. Get away from them. They're going to be trouble. This we have seen, and we're actually rejoicing in the freedom that we have. Every time, no matter how naturally gifted a person can be, if they're in your midst and they've got those spirits in them, even before they totally fall out with you, they are polluting your atmosphere. They are polluting your body. Your body will not be strong until they're gone. And God knows that. He doesn't want a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. So he lets them fall into the nastiest of sins. Like Romans chapter 1. And he removes them angrily. They're angry at you because you expect them not to, well, seduce a married woman, for instance. Yeah. They're angry that you won't let them do that. Even when you put it across to them kindly and gracefully as you can, they get angry because they can't sin. They get angry because they can't steal. Get angry. Is that stupid or what? Well, look at the people out there on the political side. How angry they are. Because most of the country voted against them. How angry they are. You know? And they're reprobated. Hopefully, some of those people will turn back to the Lord when they see the things that are happening. They're burning down their own country, shooting, killing people that they claimed they were representing. Shooting and killing people they claimed they represented. Let's get rid of the police. We don't want any restraint here. Well, that's kind of like, well, let's get rid of the preacher. We don't want any restraint here. Let's get rid of the truth. We don't want that. We don't need that Constitution. We don't want any laws to restrain our rampant flesh. And so, they go nuts. Let's shoot the police. They're there to enforce the law. You know, the Bolshevik Revolution was a bunch of crazy people just like that. And with a very small group of people, they actually conquered Russia. And they overthrew a relatively peaceful and law-abiding leader and his family. And they did this out of just pure meanness and anger. They assassinated his whole family, of course. Amazing, astounding, you know. And these are the people you want running your nation? They ran it all right. They ran it into the ground. They killed as many people as they could and ran it into the ground, and they were killed. But the whole thing is to bring forth a righteous people who see and repent and come out from among them and become separate. That's the whole thing. That's what the whole thing is about. But God wants a holy people. The first fruits that God is raising up is the man-child and the bride. That was of course, symbolized by Jerusalem, as John in Revelation was told. And the man-child and the bride, of course, the man-child they use often is in parable is David. Jesus sat on the throne of David, right? And Jerusalem was the bride. Good Jerusalem, not bad Jerusalem. There's an unregenerate picture of Jerusalem there too, which had to be destroyed. And then there was a righteous Jerusalem that was defended against the beast. So there's two parables there. And of course, the unrighteous Jerusalem was the apostate leadership over God's people, which is rampant today. It has to be destroyed. Who's going to do it? Well, we're looking at it right here. Looking at it. Not that this is the end of it. I mean, everything they do puts their foot in their own traps. They gave us the faction in the church around us. They gave us all the evidence against them. So here's a revelation that Marie Kelton got on 9/18. Yeah. Said, during the prayer meeting, I saw a bride wearing all white with a white bouquet of flowers walking down the aisle. Obviously a prophetic vision. And it's happening. God is bringing to maturity a bride who wouldn't think of doing the things that the wicked do and are seeking deliverance and holiness before the Lord. The Bible says righteousness delivereth from death. You want to know what your guns won't do? Deliver you from death. Some of those places that got hit by the DEW weapons, you know, the directed energy weapons from space or maybe two from helicopters or whatever, they didn't even get to their guns. They were atomized. They didn't even get to their guns. You see, there's nothing you can do to defend yourself from God who says what's going to happen to the wicked. God is saying what's going to happen to the wicked. The fact that he uses an even more wicked bunch of people to do it means nothing because he's going to destroy them too when they're through with their job. That's his M.O. So, by pulling these people out of the church gets whiter and whiter and whiter. And of course, white represents purity, holiness, obedience to the word, etc., etc. And they're amazed when they can't pervert somebody who is white. They're amazed that they won't believe their slander or even listen. They turn away. They won't pick up the phone when you call them. And, okay, so I'll read that part again. During the prayer meeting, I saw a bride wearing all white with a white bouquet of flowers, symbolizing fruit and holiness and purity, walking down an aisle. That was an aisle in our assembly. Okay. That's where she was when she saw this. And toward her groom, who was waiting for her. And the groom was wearing all white also. And she said, I got the impression that the groom was Jesus. Yes, that's right. And let me tell you what the bride is. The bride is Jesus too. Because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word that we eat. And his blood is the blood that we are now inheriting, not the blood of our parents that brought us Adamic sin and its nature. We're partaking of the blood of Jesus. Jesus. When we look in the mirror, we see Jesus. Jesus. So, the groom is, of course, Jesus. The bride is Jesus. The man-child is Jesus. That's what it is to bear fruit. Jesus is fruit. You want to know what fruit is? Look at Jesus. That's fruit. That's who we're coming into the image of. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus. Of course, religion likes to make it Jesus that smiles on their sin, their evil ways. That's not true. If you look on that kind of a Jesus, that's all you'll ever be. You will never come into the image of the holy Jesus. And she said, I saw this multiple times while she was in the assembly. We were worshiping word and so on and so forth, and she was watching this happen several times. Called me aside right after the meeting and told me about it. I said, well, write it up and send it to me, you know, and she did. Multiple times. You know what that means? According to Joseph, that means it's surely going to come to pass. It's surely going to come to pass. It is coming to pass. We can see it. We can feel it. And she said the song that was playing in my head was, here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Dressed in white. All right. Well, praise God. We believe it, Lord. And we see Jesus in the mirror, so we know it's coming. It is coming to the faithful, those that believe you, Lord, that believe the gospel, that don't see their natural face in the mirror. Some people don't even look in the mirror. They don't want to see what they are. And they won't listen to you if you tell them. And the demons in them will say, get away from that person. The person is trying to tell you the truth. Get away from them. Then, of course, they hate them. Hey, is that a familiar thing? All the way through the Bible, it's familiar. All the way through the Bible. People that want to do their own thing, go their own way, all the way through the Bible. And they made war against the righteous all the way through the Bible. It's history. It's going to happen today. It is happening today. It will happen tomorrow, etc., etc. We're going to have a civil war here. The civil war is going to take down those people that God wants to take down, that he wants to remove from the church, so that the church will look for new leadership, especially those who have told them the truth. And as the word says, and as we've mentioned here today, and they will know that I am the Lord. Not the one they made up. They shall know that I am the Lord. How many times does he say that? And he always says it after judgment. You see, people think that they're okay until judgment falls. And they even think they're insulated because they're in America. Of course, we've never seen anything like this happen in our lifetimes. But something pretty close to it did happen. Yeah. So, we're starting in this war. And, of course, I think it will continue right on through the election, if there is an election. And, of course, we don't have to have an election if there is a national emergency, like a civil war. We don't have to have an election. We'll just keep the president we got. And he seems to know what he's doing. And that's by the grace of God. Isaiah 45 is pretty clear about God anointing him and using him as his shepherd to destroy Babylon, the deep state. And I say he's not through. Obviously, we're looking at Babylon out there trying to destroy the country. You know, they can't have it, they'll destroy it. Guess what? Do you think they ever cared about you? Never. Never. They're Satanists. They don't care about you. I'm talking about the people at the top. They're Satanists. And let me say that anybody that follows after Satan is a Satanist. It's not those that just claim to be, you know, doing all the ceremonies and stuff like that. There are many Satanists out there. All these people that are totally given over to their flesh, they are sons of Satan. All of them. But the Lord has a plan, and his plan is he's going to use them to cleanse the church, and then he's going to destroy them. And I believe that President Trump has prepared to do this. I know that they knew this insurrection was coming, and he changed many laws with his executive orders. And he is bringing in Jisara, Nisara, both of them, and the laws that bring back the Constitution. Say, David, don't you realize that this global currency reset could make way for the mark of the beast? Yep. I also know something else, and that is that you can't stop the mark of the beast. It will not be stopped. Because God Almighty ordained it to separate the wheat from the tares and bring people to their cross that they couldn't go to themselves. Somebody helped Jesus on the cross, right? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The only way you can escape a cross is to have already been to one. Denied yourself because of the word of God. That's how you escape the cross. Dead men can't die. We're called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. The prosperity gospel that's all through America here has caused people to waste their time not spending any time partaking of the feast. That's what Jesus' parables were about. Oh, I got a yoke of oxen. Oh, I got a wife. Oh, yes, everything is going to keep them from doing the gospel, work of the Lord. Everything is more important. These are what we call idols. America is probably the worst of the people who are so hung up on materialism and this gospel that's perverted to make it okay. Okay. So, God is bringing the mark of the beast to separate the wheat from the tares. They will not deny their Lord, the people of the bride, the people of the man-child, and the people who are learning from them and submitting to them and knowing that there's no choice whatsoever. It's sanctification or hell. There is no choice. What if they cut your head off? You'll go to be with Jesus. It's a pretty exciting thought, don't you think? What if they cut your head off? Would you rather get your head cut off than spend eternal fire in hell? Well, they talk themselves out of that. Some of these goofy people out there are saying that the mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. So go ahead and take the mark of the beast because you're once saved, always saved. Yeah, that's what they're saying. You can't believe it. Even though the Bible says you'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. How self-delusional can you get? And these are people, of course, that are very prosperous. They're at the top. They're the cream of the crop. They're at the top of the food chain, so to speak. You can't trust those people. You cannot trust them. I tell you, get in the Bible. Remember the parable of the sower. Yeah, 3 out of 4 will fall away and not know God and will end up in hell. In here, the harlot was on her way. She finally realized it, but it was too late, and she couldn't stop, headed towards the fire. But God's going to cleanse his body. You know, in this particular meeting, we were talking about this. You know, what was going on out here, the purpose of it going on and so forth. And that's when this vision came forth. And several times, multiple times, came forth. And these are the days. The groom and the bride are chosen before the tribulation period. Remember what John the Baptist said when Jesus had his first fruits disciples following him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. You know? That was at the beginning of his ministry. That the bride is the bridegroom. And what he told them in the parable of sowers, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and to them it's not given. He was reprobating a massive number of people. If you think he won't do it, he did it then. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. He did it then. And he's doing it now. Get into God's Word. Love it. Ask God to put the love of it in your heart. Ask him to cause you to love your cross more than you love your prosperity. The biggest reason I believe people fall away in America, except for one, and that is unforgiveness. Where Jesus said, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors, the demons. That's what happened to these people. All of them were unforgiving. All of them. And when you don't do anything but tell them the truth, you can't do that. You'll die if you do that. As much love as you can tell them, you'll die if you do that. You can't do that. And they hate you. Yeah, they hate you. You're trying to save them. And they once knew and understood this, but suddenly their minds are totally perverted. Look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these religious people, religious leaders, some of the disciples themselves used to respect in their fancy robes and their fancy cars and their, they used to respect these people. Then they came to understand what Jesus was saying, what the Word of God, who is Jesus, was saying. And they knew they had to take up a cross and follow him. And they knew there was no choice. There is no choice. You lose your life, or you will not gain your life. If you don't feed your soul on the Word of God, you will not find the power, like other people who don't eat food, you know. You will not find the power to overcome the old man. Your spiritual man thrives on the Word of God. He grows and becomes empowered on the Word of God. If you do not ask God for this gift of loving His Word and loving the truth and drawing you unto Him and crying out and praying unto Him, asking Him to work in you to will and to do of your good pleasure, you're not going to make it. It's a fact that when you come to Him, you will have to continue to walk by faith. You will have to see Jesus in the mirror. If you see your natural face in the mirror, which the devil constantly tries to get you to do, you're going to be a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word, because you get no power from God. You must consider that whatever you have prayed to God for, it's yours. Don't wait because you think you haven't received it. Receive it by faith. Everything you ask God for, along the righteousness of God, or the things of God, or the truths of God, everything you ask God for, believe you receive it. That's what Jesus said. This is the secret, I believe, that's going to separate those who bear fruit from those that don't. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. Past tense. And you shall have them. Walk by faith and not by sight, or you will make no progress towards this white gown. This purity comes from God as a gift to those that believe. This morning we got, what must we do? Do the works of God. Jesus said, believe on Him whom He has sent. You have to believe the promise of God. How do we do the works of God? That's a people who are trying to find out how to receive power to be obedient. And Jesus said, believe on Him whom He has sent. We received that this morning. By faith at random. It's so important that you understand that you're accounted righteous through your faith. If you see Jesus in the mirror, you've repented and confessed your sins. Some people can't do that. If they can't confess their sins, there's no hope for them. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And do we believe that after we do confess our sins? Because all the promises of God are useless until you mix faith with them. Do you believe that if you honestly confessed your sins for the purpose of departing from it? God heard you, and you are cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now receive it. See Jesus in the mirror, and don't look back. Just received a wonderful revelation that was given to Gabe about don't look back and don't look down. It's good and it's very true. And many people do that. They've got their eyes on the world. They've got their eyes on their feet, where they are now. They're looking back at all their sins that they've done, all the failure that's been with them all their life. You know? There's no faith there. In looking back or looking down, there's no faith there. You need to look up to heaven. Keep your eyes on the Lord and what he did and what he has accomplished. And without that, you're going to continue to fall away. It's already been given. It's all been accomplished and provided at the cross. Everything that you need to be in the bride. Remember the story of Esther? Everything that they needed, everything that they wanted and needed was given to them to go from the place of the women to the house of the king. And you know what? Everybody doesn't partake of it. Even though it's given, it's there, it's yours. That's why Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, because you received them. You received them at the cross. Everything you want and need has been given. And if your eyes are cast down and you can't get them off your belly button, it's because you're not looking up. And you're not receiving. And you think, what's the hope? I've got no hope. Well, you've got no hope because you've got no faith. Look up. Anybody who repents and confesses their sins and gets their eyes on the serpent on the pole, you remember the story? Who is that? That was Jesus, who became sin for us. These people who get their eyes on the serpent on the cross, oh, these are the people that are cured of the snake bite. My old daddy, you know, when he wasn't a Christian, he had that saying that this person or that person, they're snake bit. When I got into the Bible, I realized where that came from. I said, yeah, that's true. They are snake bit. They are snake bit. Well, you can take care of the snake bite. Just get your eyes on the serpent on the pole. He took all of your sins. He put them there on him. He made reconciliation. He made the exchange. Your sins put on that cross. His righteousness given to you. And it will manifest. Some people think, oh yeah, I'm righteous. But they don't believe the way the Bible teaches them to believe, and that is that he will manifest that righteousness in you. It will manifest. It's not just by faith. Everything that's by faith is for the purpose of manifesting it. If you continue to walk by faith, it will manifest. That means become real in this world. Shining forth from. That's what the word manifest means. It'll shine forth from you. Keep your eyes on Jesus on the cross. Believe that he bore your sins. Believe that you don't have them anymore. That Jesus took them away from you. And you are accounted righteous even before you manifest it. You are accounted. What does accounted mean? It means God's attributing something to you that you haven't manifested yet. You're justified by faith. You're accounted righteous by faith. You want to escape all these evil things that are happening? All the people that we're talking about here that are on their way to hell and soon it's going to be too late and they're in the slide already. David, you're preaching hellfire and brimstone. Yes, I am. Yes, you have to believe it. I pity the preachers that don't preach that that's the end. They don't teach you how to be righteous. That's the big problem. There's lots of, they want to scare you out of hell, but they don't tell you how to get to heaven. They want to scare you out of hell. That's not going to work. That'll just last till you get out of the church, and then you come back next week, and they'll do it to you again. But they can't moralize you. It has to be by faith. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. Then when the preacher don't believe it, how can they give it to you? When they don't know the way, how can they show you the way? The disciples used to call it the way. But some people are just in the way. They're not on the way. They're in the way. They're in the way of everybody around them. They claim to be Christian, but they're mean as snakes. But the way is repent and believe. When you read the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, you should repent and believe. Every time. It's all true. My good friend Ray Taylor used to say, he went around saying, it's all true. It was like he was stuck on that. And he had taught a Baptist Sunday school for years. And suddenly got a revelation. It's all still true. Meaning it didn't pass away with the apostles. Oh, no, it didn't. It passed away with the apostates, but it didn't pass away with the apostles. It's all still true. And he was just full of joy with this revelation. Of course, they wanted to put him in an asylum. All the Baptists around him, they thought, he lost his mind. They were going to put him in an asylum. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. They tried to do it. Yeah. They don't want to believe that. That makes them responsible. Makes them responsible. They don't want to be responsible. We like once saved, always saved. I like to be saved where I am, not saved from what I am. Oh, Lord. Lord, we thank you drawing us unto yourself. And Lord, we know our prayers are answered when we ask you to draw us unto you, Lord. And Lord, give us a hunger for the Word of God to be like Jesus, because he is the Word of God. And no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Therefore, that 30, 60, and 100 fold is talking about Jesus himself. The seed was his seed, sown in your heart, not somebody else's heart, your heart. And it brought forth fruit in those that were good ground, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Fruit of what? Fruit of Jesus, the original Jesus. The same Jesus. Well, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We want to be drawn unto that Jesus, and we want to not believe another Jesus that makes it possible for us to continue in our sins, continue in our self-will, and still go to heaven. Yes, they have invented this Jesus. So they can sit on a pew and wait for the rapture. They've invented all of this. It's all a pack of lies. It's all lets your flesh live. They think you're not going to change till you get to heaven. They're preaching that. You're not going to change till you get to heaven. No, we have to bear fruit here. That's the big, big lie. We bear fruit here. We're in the dirt of this world to bear fruit. And God is coming to pick the fruit. It's already changed when he picks it. Yeah, they're preaching you can't have that. You can't overcome sin. You're going to be a sinner saved by grace all your life. And you'll go to heaven that way. That's an oxymoron, a sinner saved by grace. You are a sinner. You were a sinner. And now you are saved by grace. That's the truth. You were a sinner. And that makes you a sinner saved by grace. But their understanding of it is totally perverted. Like this is the ultimate. We have arrived. You know? We have arrived. No. You were a sinner, and you've been saved by grace. He saved you from your sins. He has taken away your sins. And if you believe it, he will do it. If you don't, he won't. It's be it unto you according to your faith, and as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. If you believe that apostate gospel, antichrist gospel, you won't bear fruit. And you won't escape these judgments. How long does it take to escape these judgments we're talking about that we can see on the horizon right now? How long does it take to escape them? Justification by faith. Repent. Confess your sins according to what the Bible calls sin, not what you call sin. Repent, confess your sins, and accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. As Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. That's justification by faith. That you must have to have a Passover. That you must have to escape these things. Will some people that don't know God escape this? Of course, because God sees in the future, he's going to save them. Or God sees in the future, he's going to destroy them. You're in God's hands. Some people will escape, some won't, but many will not escape. That's what we're being warned with here. I thank God that he's bringing down the harlot and the beast now, so that when the tribulation does come, it won't be as bad for the first 3.5 years as it would be. Because they're going to spring back to full life by the middle of the tribulation period. And there'll be communism over the whole earth. And they'll be killing Christians all over the earth. And some of them will be like Fox's Book of Martyrs. They will joyfully hug their cross, knowing that they will be with Jesus. You never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you may expect that you won't ever be faced with any of those things. That's a lie. The best thing is to be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And that's faithful people that do that. They're not under the curse anymore. The beast and the harlot are administering the curse. And the demons in them are administering the curse. You want to escape? The last enemy to be overcome is death. The last enemy. Meaning you have to overcome all these enemies to get to the place where you can overcome death and be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. They think it's just, oh, I've accepted Jesus. I'll be alive and remain till the coming of the Lord. No, you won't. Lying. You do have to overcome. You do have to lose your life to gain your life. If you gain your life, you will not die. You will be here until the coming of the Lord. Remember that Joshua and Caleb marched into the promised land in their bodies. Yep. The promised land is, in one type, our kingdom of heaven. They marched in there in their bodies, whereas others who sinned in the wilderness died in the wilderness, and their children entered into the promised land. You see, they died, but their fruit went in. At least they had fruit. And it went in, their children went into the promised land. There's a type and a shadow there. Okay, thank you so much, Father, for this wonderful time we've had together. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. I pray that everyone will take to heart the things that we've said and the revelations that we've shared. And we love you and we praise you, Father. And we thank you for doing it in us, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God love you, saints. See you later. Bye.